Well, what a privilege it is to not just stand tonight, to be in God's house. Anytime we get to come into His house, it's a blessing, it's a privilege, especially considered an honor. I've said it before when preaching at other churches. It's an honor anytime a man will ask you into his pulpit, but it's a real honor when he's not sorry enough to make you be the only ones to listen and only let me preach when he's out. A lot of times when I go preaching in other men's churches, it'll be maybe the pastor will be on vacation or because of illness or things of that sort. So makes you feel a little bit better when the pastor will actually stick around. But it is good to be in God's house tonight. I want to say to the church before we get started that I appreciate your thoughts and your prayers this week. They've truly been a blessing. We've needed them, we've desired them, but I'll tell you this, we've failed them. And I do appreciate that. I appreciate all the folks here that's been praying for us. And I ask you to continue to. Now tonight you're going to notice that I'm going to read a couple of things off. And it's because I can't remember lyrics very well. And there's a song that's kind of given me this thought tonight that the Perrys sing. And throughout the message tonight, if I can, I'd like to just kind of bring out some ideas from Titus chapter number 3. With that song, the Perrys sang a song, and this is how it goes. I've never got over that I am not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt that I could not afford. I've never got past that I'm free at last from sin that made me a slave. And I still feel as much as when He first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. Are you amazed by Him tonight? I'm amazed by Him. I'll tell you why I'm amazed by Him is I've had a lot of experiences with Him. And every experience that I face when I am in His hands and being wrapped up in His arms, I'm amazed that much more. I'm amazed when I think of salvation. I'm amazed when I think of heaven. I'm amazed when I think of the cross. I'm amazed when I think of the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that God still amazes every single time. If you have your Bibles to Titus chapter number 3, we'll start in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Boy, ain't that good. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to You tonight so thankful for Your love and Your mercy. Father, we come to You tonight still amazed at You. We're still amazed at what You've done. We're still amazed at what You're doing. And Father, we have enough foresight to know that we're amazed by what You're going to do. And Father, we thank You for that. We ask You tonight, God, that You would help us as we stand. Lord, we can't do this without You. Lord, I'm going to need utterance tonight, and I'm going to need your touch tonight as I stand. And I ask You, God, that You would give us the ability to preach Your word, but not only, Lord, open our ears, but also open our hearts so that not only would we hear Your word and learn of Your word, but, Lord, that we could live by Your word. Lord, we love You with all of our heart. We thank You for so many blessings, Lord, that You bestowed upon us. It's in Jesus' precious name that we humbly pray, and amen and amen. I'm amazed, aren't you? I tell you the things that amaze me is I remember the first time that I ever looked into one of my children's eyes. Right after they were born, I'll tell you this little story, and some people's told me that I was crazy because of it, but I remember when Trenton was born, he was fresh, okay? That's about the best way I know to put it. And I just looked down at him, and I grabbed his little hand, and I said, tears in my eyes. I don't even know if he could have understood me, if he would have understood. I said, "Hey, buddy, I'm your daddy." And it was like this smile just covered his face. Boy, that's an amazing feeling, ain't it? And every time all four children came along, I've looked in their eyes and I've been purely amazed. There's some things that amaze me. It amazes me that God would bless me with four children. It amazes me that God would give me a wife that throughout the ministry, throughout, you know, ups and downs and goods and bads, she stuck by me and loved me. I'm glad that God has blessed me with a ministry. Brother Rick and I agree on something. We're amazed that the likes of him would allow the likes of us to stand in his pulpit, would allow us to preach his word. I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed that somehow that you can look at a black and dirty soul covered in sin and you can put red on it, red blood, and wash it white and clean. I don't know how that happens. It amazes me. It amazes me that this vile sinner could be saved by grace and call heaven their home. I'm amazed by it. Things that amaze people. My youngest son, Eli, he gets amazed every time that we go into a big city. He loves a skyline. And he loves to see the skyline. You can see pure awe in his eyes when he looks on that skyline and sees those skyscrapers and those big buildings. And when we drive by ballparks, he's a huge sports fan. He looks at these stadiums and these ballparks and he's amazed by it. We went to Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago and they were amazed by all these statues and monuments. But there's no amazement that compares to God. There's nothing as amazing as God. And as we look through verses 3 through 7, you'll find that it is even more amazing when you break it down. Nothing amazes me like God does. I'm still amazed, number one, by God's love. Verses 3 and 4 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." Is that you? I know that's me sometimes. I know that's me. This may come as a surprise to you, but sometimes I'm hard to love. I don't know how he loves me. I don't know why he loves me. All I know is he loves me and it amazes me. I don't understand how that he can look upon me. And not only would the likes of him want the likes of me, but the likes of him would love the likes of me. I'm amazed by God's love. It goes on to say, but after that, the kindness and love of God. The kindness and love of God. Boy, I don't deserve it, do you? The kindness and the love of God. I don't deserve His love or His kindness. I don't deserve any good thing He's ever done for me. But that doesn't mean He hasn't done it. God is good, ain't He? And all the time. Amen. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. My mom wrote a song. It said, "A few were gathered in the upper room. They were so afraid and confused, the man they'd followed for so long was gone. They followed him up the lonely hill and watched him carry out his Father's will. But then they laid him in the tomb." But you know what it goes on to say in the chorus? "Then he appeared." Then he appeared. How in the world can't accept him, I'll never know. God's love is amazing because he appeared unto us, just like he appeared unto those disciples. I look at the road to Emmaus. Here they're walking along, more the brokenhearted, don't know what to do, and all of a sudden there's Jesus. They go out fishing, can't catch anything. They look on the bank and there he is sitting there. "Come on, boys, I got a fire going." I'm glad that in the times that I need him the most, God appears. God appears in love. Ain't you glad of that? Look at these words that are used here. This perfectly describes me. Foolish. That's ignorant of things concerning God. Disobedient. It's rebellious. Deceived, it says. Deceived. We get deceived, don't we? Led deeper into sin. You ever get there? Serving diverse lusts. That one's not real popular in the church, is it? Serving diverse lusts. It's in here for a reason. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. That simply means that we become a slave to the desires of the flesh. It goes on and it says, living in malice. Been there too. Trying our best. Maybe you're not trying to hurt people, but you sure aren't trying to help people, are we? Sometimes it happens. And envy. You know what envy is? Hateful. I get hateful every now and again. My wife's the hateful one, but sometimes I'll get that way. I love you. I've still got to go home with her. I'm crazy. And hating one another. I was talking to a gentleman a while back, and he showed me what true hate was for your brother or sister. He showed me what true hate was for humanity. It's not when you do something wrong. It's when you don't tell them about the one that'll make them right. That's what hating is. See, I don't show hate by doing wrong to people because I don't really go out and do anything wrong to people. But it's all those people that I see and all those people that I talk to and all those people that I come in contact with that once I leave, they don't know any more about Jesus. That's showing hate to that person. Folks, I'm guilty of these things. But I love what it says. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Even though I'm guilty of all of these things, I'm amazed by the love of God. The love after all of our failures. But above all my failures, above all my faults, He loves me. And He loves you. A love above all others. I've heard all my life there's no love like a mother's love. Folks, there's one better. There's one better. I can tell you, I know what a mother's love is like. I've got a mama and I'm a mama's boy. But there's no love like the love of Jesus. There's no love like the love of Jesus. You'll never find another love like it in your life. Mama never has gave her life for me. She just put up with 18 years of it. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us a perfect example of God's love. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't believe for one minute that Jesus Christ hung on that cross and said, yeah, but look what Aaron Knight could be. I don't believe that. I don't believe for one minute that Jesus Christ hung on the cross and let them pierce His hands and feet with nails and put a crown of thorns upon His head and say, but look what Brother Rick Van Oy could be. I believe He looked at it and said, Father, if I don't do this, they're going to hell. Because He died for me while I was a sinner. It doesn't say that He died for me knowing that I could do better. It said He died while we were yet sinners. I'm glad that God loves us. I'm amazed by God's love. Aren't you amazed by God's love? It goes on in this chapter, in first half of verse number 5, says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I'm amazed by God's mercy, aren't you? Not because of me, but because of Him, I'm saved. Not because of me, it's all because of Him. It's a mercy that justifies. There is no justice for this soul that I could come up with. The only payment that I could make would have been death and hell. And it still wouldn't have been enough to cover sins. But the mercy of Jesus Christ decided, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to the devil turn him down and tear him down and try to drag him down. I'm going to step in, and mercy's going to say no to it. Mercy's going to say no to it. In fact, if we look in the Word of God, the Bible tells us that He owns the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Hell is our decision. That spiritual death is our decision. All because mercy made it possible. His mercy is a mercy that justifies. Here's one you don't hear often. His mercy is a mercy that ratifies. You know what it means to be ratified? To make valid. I'm totally invalid without God. I mean nothing in this world. I am a speck of God's creation without Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But because of His mercy, I've been redeemed. I've been ratified. And now I'm valid. I had a little joke that I used to tell people at the church. I want everybody to try this. If you don't ever feel valid, I want you to do this. I want you to hold out your hands. And I want you to hold up your thumbs. That's a pretty good part of your DNA, ain't it? Look, your thumb body. Your thumb body. Just remember that. But I'm glad that I'm valid now. I mean something to God. Unfortunately, many times He don't mean as much to us, though, does He? But I'm glad that because of His mercy, I can be justified and ratified. And one of these days, I get to be sanctified. That's good news. I about came out of my shoes when Brother Rick told that story this morning about the brother he saw over at Mama's house. And he said he's a few months away from perfection. I don't know if y'all caught that when you, by the time you got home, but what it meant, he's almost home. I'm glad I'm almost home, and when I get home, I'm going to be sanctified. I'm going to be made perfect by His mercy. Not by my works or by my righteousness. The Bible tells us what righteousness is, what our righteousness is. It's filthy rags. But by Him. The Bible also says by His stripes we are healed, don't it? I'm amazed by His mercy. I'm amazed by His salvation, aren't you? Continuing on in verse number 5 and 6, it says, "But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." I'm amazed by God's salvation. It's pretty simple. We were lost. He saved us. That's simple, ain't it? That's a pretty simple term. But boy, look at the broad effect it's had on our lives. Folks, I'm not going to try to stay up here all night. Old preacher I used to know used to say, "I've got more points than a porcupine." But we were lost and He saved us. We were defiled and He washed us. That's what it says, ain't it? His mercy, He saved us by the washing. We were defiled and He washed us. I was defiled. I was filthy. I was disgusting. There's a lot of things that you may hear in my testimony. There's a lot of things that you may hear about my life. But you'll never hear me utter the words of the things that I'm guilty of. You know why? Because if He can forget about them, I'm going to forget about them. It ain't worth bringing it back up. I'm just giving the devil glory. I'd rather give God the glory and say it's forgotten about. It's gone. It's covered. It's over. I've been washed. And see, that's the thing. I'll tell you about a pig. That pig, a waller, it'll get muddy, but if you wash that pig, it won't be muddy no more. Now, it might get muddy again, but it won't be the same mud, will it? Why? Because that mud's gone. See, I may never be perfect until I reach heaven. But I'll tell you this, all my sins have been passed away and forgiven. They've been taken away. I'm not guilty anymore. I've been washed. We were defiled and He washed us. We were dead. And the Bible says right here, by the washing of regeneration, we were dead and He made a way for regeneration. The Bible tells us we're a new creature. I like being a new creature. You know why I like being a new creature? Because being a new creature means that I don't have to go to hell. Being a new creature means that I have hope beyond this life. Because you know what Paul said, don't you? If I had hope only in this life, I'd be above all men most miserable. I'm going to be honest. I'd love to give you the biggest message of hope I ever could, but listen, life stinks sometimes. You say, "Preacher, that's very negative of you." No, it ain't. It's honest. Life stinks for a Christian. Life stinks for a sinner. It's life. You know what the difference is? My hope ain't in this life. I don't have to worry about this life stinking. This last week has not been fun. But I know that in a little while, all that'll be over. I don't know if you've read it. Revelation chapter number 21. It might make you feel a little bit better about this life. For all the former things are passed away. You know what passed away means? Exactly what you think. It's gone. It ain't coming back. When I close my eyes, whether it be by rapture or by death, all the former things are passed away. Boy, I'm amazed by that salvation, aren't you? We were empty, and the Bible says right here, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, we were empty and He filled us. You know, one of the biggest problems in the church, and I'm not talking about Bible Way, I'm talking about the church. Biggest problem in the church today is a lot of folks are filled, but not many of them act like it. Folks, I've heard things in this church, and I've listened to messages in this church, and I've listened to the choir sing in this church, that if we were all truly filled the way that we ought to, this roof couldn't hold it. But the problem is many of us are filled, but we don't know it. Folks, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. How about you? Pardon me for getting doctrinal, but it didn't take baptism to do it. You know what it took? Good old-fashioned salvation. Took a little bit of work. It took Jesus Christ giving His life on the cross and me accepting Him. And at that moment, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was filled, and so were you. Folks, when we were empty, He filled us. When we were dead, He brought us to life. When we were defiled, He washed us. And when we were lost, He saved us. I think we've got something to be amazed about. That song also says, I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. I'm still in awe that He gave it all. I'm still in awe that He gave it all. For an old sinner like me, I've never got over that this King would shoulder my sin and all its disgrace. Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. That's good stuff. Somebody's going to have to learn that and sing it. What do you say, brother? We got to get somebody on that one, don't we? Uh-oh. I got volunteered. I'm amazed, ain't you? I'm amazed by His love. I'm amazed by His salvation. I'm amazed by His Son. Jesus Christ amazes me. Look at verse number 6. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Jesus Christ amazes me. Preacher, what do you mean? That's pretty broad. Yeah, it is pretty broad. About 33 and a third years broad. I'm amazed by His birth. You'll never hear a count again like it. You'll never hear a telling again like it. And those old shepherd boys sure didn't expect it either, did they? That God would implant His Son into a virgin woman. And she would go on to have this child. Folks, His birth goes on beyond, goes way beyond the birth of a child from a virgin mother. I want you to think about something. How many folks have been in the room of like a labor and delivery room? You folks better get ready. You're going to see more blue than the skies. They cover everything in blue, don't they? Everything gets covered and sanitized. And made sure it's clean and perfect and there's no floating germs and everything is just as neat and perfect as it can be. Why? Because there's so many dangers to mother and child. There's so many things that can go wrong in that room if everything isn't just spick and span, isn't just perfect. Everything has to be just right or we're talking about infections. We're talking about diseases. We're talking about a lot of troubles. Now, I need to ask another question. How many of you have been in a barn? How many of you know what a manger is? How many of you know what swaddling clothes are? How many of you have ever seen either three be clean enough to have a child in? But my Savior was born into it. And not only was He born, but He lived it and was amazing. I'm amazed at His birth. I'm amazed at His life. Look at the miracles and the wonders. I believe it's 37 miracles that the New Testament gives us. More if you read in the Gospels and count each one individually. But 37 that are basically mentioned. The miracles and the wonders that Jesus performed in His short life. And all to the glory of God. Folks, I've never spit on the dirt and healed a blind man. Never has happened. You know what? There's never been a person that came to me sick or with any kind of a disease that touched the hem of my pants and was healed by it. In fact, if you touch me, I won't feel a virtue go. There'll never be a time when I can heal a man, or I can bring a man to life, or I can cast demons out. But I know the one who can. And I'm amazed by him. I'm amazed at his death. I'm amazed at his death. To know that he could have went so many ways. John the Baptist was mentioned this morning. He died quick, painless. He was beheaded. Jesus Christ could have died the same death and still forgiven the sins of this world. But instead he hung on that cross in agony, bleeding to death and suffocating. Died of asphyxiation. Can you imagine a worse death? All to show the world I love you this much. But then I'm amazed by his resurrection. See, I can die. You can hang me on a cross and you can put nails in my hands and feet, crown of thorns in my head, and you can pierce my side with a spear. I can die just the same way Jesus did. But there's one difference. In 3 days, I'm not coming back. Amanda sings a song sometimes. It says, I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. I traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. But then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in the grave. Ain't that good? That's good stuff. I'm amazed by God's son. I'm amazed by him. Then I'll finish with this. Go on into verse number 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. We're made heirs. I hope I get a few years before, unless the Lord comes back, before my kids have to bury me, because they're not going to be heirs of much. They're not. I don't have a whole lot to leave my kids right now. I guess that'll come as time goes on. I know I've seen folks pass away and their families end up with a whole lot of things. Houses, land, vehicles, debt. But I'm glad that because of the death of God's Son, I'm an heir to grace. That's good. That's good. I don't care if I am preaching it. I'm an heir to grace. And if you're saved tonight, you are an heir to grace because of the death of God's Son. It says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. But grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy said, I don't have to go to hell even though I deserve it. Grace says, I get to go to heaven even though I don't deserve it. That's grace. I'm amazed by God's grace. His grace means that He walks with us intimately. You know what I'm going to tell you? This past week, I watched a family mourn and need a Savior to walk with them intimately. And you know what? I'm glad to know that He does. Because of His grace, He walks with us intimately. In good times and bad times, on those plateaus of life when really nothing's going on, He still walks with us. I'm glad that His grace also says that He cares for us immensely. There's a song that I've been hearing a video of going around. No one cares for me like Jesus. You know what he could have done is he could have saved me. Said, all right, I'm making sure you're going to heaven, but now I'm done. That's all I've got to do. That's all I'm going to do, and that would have been enough. But instead, he looks at me when I'm broken, and he puts his arms around me. He looks at me when I'm down, and he lifts me up. He walks with me. Bible goes on, and as it says here, it says it gives us a hope of eternal life. He gives me hope that I don't have to worry about these things forever. He cares for us immensely. He blesses us immeasurably. There's no way to count. There's no way to number the blessings that God's bestowed upon us. I tell this most times when I get in the pulpit. If God stops blessing me tonight, he's already done more than I'll ever deserve. He blesses us immeasurably. See, I'm amazed by that. You know why I'm so amazed by all of these things I mentioned tonight? His grace, his mercy, his love, his salvation, his son. Because I don't deserve a one of them. But he gave them all freely, didn't he? Sure is hard to turn someone down that just hands it over, ain't it? Folks, I'm amazed by him. I'm still amazed. I thank God that this salvation that we have, it's not a salvation that just goes away. It's not a salvation that just loses its luster. It's not a salvation that fades off like a candle. It's a salvation that goes on. I'm amazed by it, aren't you? I love you. That's my message.